Ventnor City Planning Board Meeting, February 24th, 2025. Ready?
Is it on? At this time, Ventnor City Planning Board is now in session. This is the February 24th, 2025 meeting. All meetings are being held in accordance with due public notice thereof and pursuant to the New Jersey State Sunshine Law. Notice that this meeting was advertised in the press and the current, and a copy of same has been posted on the board recorder in the municipal building. At this time, we'll rise and salute the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Is there a reason these lights on this side are out?
No.
Someone in the back,
Hit the switch.
Hit the switch back there that's something that happens here.
Right.
Ah.
Yeah. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Brian. You have a touch, right? Okay. At this time, will the board administrator please call the roll?
Commissioner Langgraf?
Here.
Joe Inizelli?
Here.
Jay Cook?
Here.
Roman Zabby Hutch?
Here.
Dan Smith III?
Here.
Mike Wiesen?
Here.
Peter Tocco?
Here.
Tim Coop?
Here.
Greer Gaskell?
Here.
Wendy Bartlett?
Here.
Absent are Mayor Kribel, Lorraine Salata, and Jessica Stilley.
Okay. Moving on, the next item on the agenda would be adoption of the minutes of February 12th. Has everyone reviewed, and are there any comments or amendments to said minutes? If there are none, as I hear, may I have a motion for adoption and second, please?
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed?
Abstain.
Abstain.
We have Greer Gaskell, Tim, and Wendy as abstentions. The minutes are hereby adopted. Next on the agenda is that of resolutions. We have two resolutions this year. They are P9 of 2025, of the 112 South Surrey Avenue, and P10 of 2025, 108 South Victoria Avenue. Again, are there any amendments or changes to said resolutions? Hearing no requests or seeing none, may I have a motion and a second for adoption, please?
I'll make the motion. Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Abstain from P10.
Abstain.
Opposed?
Abstain.
What?
Abstain.
Abstain is?
Me too.
Okay. Any abstentions on this? Okay, you have Tim Coop and Wendy, and Greer Gaskell.
Here.
And that's it. Okay, the resolutions of P10, 2025 are hereby adopted. This evening, there are two applications this evening. The first application to be heard is that of Pina Management LLC of 6503-6513, Ventnor Avenue. And the next one will be of 6 and 4 Foot Avenue. And you are representing Mr. Callahan?
I am, Mr. Cook.
And you do the drill, you want to do it? We know preamble, you'll go right through with everything, have everybody sworn, and then we'll proceed.
Good evening. I represent Pure Management, 6503-13 Ventnor Avenue, Block 122, Lot 2.01. Let me bring everybody up to be sworn in. Mr. Barnhart.
Okay. Yeah, we can just go down the line. Just give me your name and business address, and I'll swear as many people are going to speak, I'll swear everyone together.
Peter Weiss, 38 East Oak Crest Avenue, Northfield.
Sully Piera, 31 Emerald Drive, Ward Township.
He's got
I'm sorry, could you please come up and spell your name, please?
S-A-L-I-H, last name Piera, P-I-R-A.
I got you.
Thank you. Blair and Piera, for Shore Line, Acogo Township, and I spell for you is B-L-E-R-I-M, and last name is Piera, P-I-R-A.
Thank you, Blair.
Thank you.
John Barnhart, office address 400 North Dover Avenue, Atlantic City.
Okay, can the four of each please raise your right hand, each swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
I do.
Mr. Barnhart, Mr. Weiss, please. Mr. Weiss, you are a licensed architect, correct?
Yes, sir.
In the state of New Jersey?
Yes.
You appeared before, are you a planner?
No.
Okay. I'll let the record reflect that Mr. Weiss's credentials have been accepted here and is accepted now. Mr. Barnhart, you're a planner and an engineer, correct?
That is correct.
Let the record reflect that you have appeared here many times, and your record and credentials are acceptable as well. Now, as your credentials, welcome here, Brian. How you doing?
Good.
Please proceed.
Just want to give a little bit of background before we start. This is probably the fourth or fifth time that this property has come before the board. Goes back to about 2009, when the city sold it to Vinnie Canuccio. Came in at that point in time for stores downstairs, offices upstairs. Never got formalized and never got built. Then had another project come in, Laboff, and it, with Peter Weiss, and Mr. Barnhart's done all of them. That never got built. Belmar was in, didn't get built. Then the last one that I was involved with was Bill McLeese coming in for four people next door to put the beer garden in, which didn't get built, and we're here tonight. So this has been an ongoing saga since 2009 through now. I also want to, for the people who are here, this is that property was all developed, and then fire caught on, and everything got burnt down. I went back to my 1961 Polk directory to get an idea. On that property at that point in time, you had a Ventnor delicatessen in 1961. Not necessarily when it burnt down. There was an Arrow Hardware, a Bendix, a Cindy's Pastry, a Ventnor Liquor, and a New Haven Fish Market. And there was 12 apartments. So you had six stores, 12 apartments. On the other side of the street, you had Grant's Studio, Newport Fish, Delaware Meat, a Ventnor Liquor, another Ventnor Pastry Shop, say another six stores, 2, 4, 6, and 10 apartments. So it's always been a fairly area that's been stores and apartments. So tonight, what we're asking for is two stores and five apartments or condominiums, depending on how the market resolves. I'll have John Barnhart walk you through originally, just to give you an idea of the site and what we're doing. We'll discuss the various relief and go from there.
Are the principals associated with the restaurant?
Mm-hmm. John, you want to walk through the site?
Sure. So I think everyone's very familiar with the property. As Brian put it out, for the subject of a number of applications throughout the years. And hopefully, the project we have for you is going to be successful and we can get construction. This board had granted approval for mixed-use development on this property. Two different kinds, both with ground floor residential, commercial, and residential above. And then, as I pointed out, the last approval was for a beer garden area, which had no residential building. It had two structures that were built to be built for the back of the property, and then kind of an air type of venue. Again, that project, unfortunately, never came to fruition, although they did get started with it, they recognized that viability was not there. So what we have this evening is essentially go back to what was once approved. But it is in our opinion, actually slightly less intense than some of the prior approvals that we had. The proposal here is to have a ground floor retail, two retail spaces, that will be moving to the floor restaurant. And then if you would ask that drive in and out on Ventnor Avenue, that will allow for a total of 10 parking spaces within the building, underneath the building. Those parking spaces would be for the residential units, and those are proposing five residential units on the second level. There is obviously access, and that will be proposed here, and elevator access to the residential units from the ground level. There is provisions for traffic on the ground level. Peter can discuss it further, but there is storage of units in the units, I believe.
Correct.
So it's basically a relatively simple layout, and as I said, this is very consistent with what was prior, what was previously approved. The property does have some constraints with regard to an access easement that exists on the site. On the left side here, there's an access, there's just under seven foot wide access easement. And then in the mirror, there's a 3 foot wide access easement, which we have to respect and maintain and keep clear. That is the access easement that person's willing to have that for you.
And John, just put that on the record. I met with Mr. Muskin yesterday, who owns the property next door to us, and he has a driveway cut right now that accesses that easement area. And he asked us to maintain that, and I said, well, I believe we would have the ability, because we have the driveway, we have a parking space, and then we have his driveway cut, so I said, I don't see any problem with us maintaining it.
Are the Muskins the owner next door?
Yes.
They're attorneys.
Yeah, the whole family's attorneys, yes. And, you know, he has records going back to like 1911, showing that the access easement was there. The property behind it at that point in time, 1911, was actually a horse stable, given where the horses were using that as ingress and egress. So, if the board has no objection, doesn't have to approve us, we will maintain that driveway cut.
Okay. So there are essentially five variances that are necessary. Four variances that are necessary with the application. The prior application was granted the use variance for the mixed use method development that we are proposing here. With regard to setback, we are requesting a sideline setback variance where 4 feet is required, and on the right side, we are proposing 1.1 feet. The prior building actually, well, I believe, we've got a party wall, and the building were connected. But because of the size, because of the left side or left side access easement that exists, we are proposing a larger left side at 7.4 feet. So if we actually add the two together, we do have a total side yard and access to 8 feet. So we, in that area, we have at least 4 feet on each side, so the building will push toward the north east because of that access easement.
And that's the four wall, which is a blank wall.
It's a blank wall, and if you look at the wall, you can tell it's a blank wall.
It was a blank wall.
Okay, that's correct. The next variance is necessary with regard to lot coverage. Obviously, 60% is the requirement for zone. As we're all very familiar with this commercial corridor along Ventnor Avenue, all the properties are essentially constructed the same way, the property line. We don't see any value in creating a situation where you, let's say, set this building back and reduce some of the building mass or coverage. We think it would create inconsistency with the block. So while it is a deviation, it's a deviation that was granted prior, and actually I think it's a slight reduction from the prior approval, where prior approval actually was granted 100% lot coverage.
Right.
And this is as designed to show it 90%. The next variance is with regard to parking. So we are proposing to have the appropriate parking for the residential units. We are not proposing parking for your commercial spaces. While we understand that case stand on its own merits, there's been a pattern of consistency with the application, recognizing that if you were to require parking for your commercial uses, you essentially don't have a project. I believe the parking requirement is 33 spaces for this. As you can imagine, if you're going to even take out the residential entirely, which is what kind of frankly what makes this project viable, if you take out the residential entirely and just build this as commercial, you could never comply. So you have a condition that you live in detailed commercial spaces where the parking is kind of self-policing. The tenants, they know what the parking scenario is in the area. And there are many, many loading transportation, especially during the peak time of the summertime when these commercial tenants, are doing their best. You get tons of walkers along this area, you get plenty of bike riders. We've got all kinds of transportation to and from this location. So we believe that while we're not providing commercial parking for the project, we believe that it's consistent with the pattern of development in commercial corridor, and we believe that it is inappropriate. And then the last deviation being requested with regard to landscape buffer. Your project is also along the rear. We're kind of hampered by that access easement. We really can't put anything into that easement. So we do have a required setback, but we can't really plant back there. We have to keep that access easement open. There, you see this, there was a plan, it's a finish, but essentially a blank wall. It will help, it is right up against the budget residential properties. It will help, the building will kind of essentially buffer the properties from Ventnor Avenue to commercial corridor. So the building will kind of act as a buffer, and hinders the report going back further. We still can't buffer along that property line because of that reason.
Street trees, we have, there are already two there. We're going to maintain those. We're proposing to maintain these two street trees. Mr. McLennan's report did point out that we should show a 24-foot wide driveway. We have a 24-foot wide aisle inside the building for appropriate separation. We were showing a reduced curb cut just to minimize the curb cut. But Mr. McLennan recommended that we change that to 24 feet, which we are certainly happy to do.
Subject to the county.
Of course. So with regard to variance justifications, we think there's a number of purposes in zoning that put forward here. We think that this is creation of the desirable visual environment to create design techniques. This is a property that's a long time coming, having been redeveloped. Many folks have wanted to or tried to come up with a plan of redevelopment. I think the timing is right for this project, given the development that is going on in Ventnor and surrounding communities. We're hopeful that our client can make this a very successful project. I think that Mr. Weiss's plan, while it is on the front property line, if you look at the side elevations of on his plan, you see that the building has a nice step back, so it's not so looming on the front street, which again will help contribute to a desirable visual environment. We believe that application does promote the free flow of traffic because we are meeting the needs of all the proposed residents using this on site. The residents that are living in this property would not be burdened by the local or the Orange Street parking area. So any Orange Street parking that exists would not be further handled by this application and could be used for the commercial space that is being proposed.
One of Roger's comments dealt with runoff drainage.
Yes, we do work with Roger. We recognize we need to get water out on the street, not across the sidewalk, under the sidewalk. We'll work with this in the time we come up with a solution for doing that. We've done it in urban environments many times, and there's a number of successful ways to do that, so we will address that.
On the negative criteria, do you see anything of substantial detriment to the public or the character of the neighborhood?
No, with regard to the character of the neighborhood, we believe that this fits right in, makes you respect the building. There is certainly no substantial detriment to the zoning plan or zoning ordinance. These deviations are relatively minor. The court has seen through approved these on a number of occasions in the past. But this project probably is more in keeping with the character of development than now than it was when we approved before. So we believe that the negative criteria are established with regard to the zoning plan and zoning ordinance. And with regard to any substantial negative to the public good, providing new retail commercial opportunities for tenants on your main commercial areas, we think is beneficial to the public. Providing new residential units and bringing more probably second-time home buyers into the community to utilize those commercial spaces and utilize the restaurants and to continue to support the city better, we think is a positive. For those reasons, we do not see a substantial detriment to the public good. Things that could essentially be a negative: trash, storage, deliveries. This device's design has accommodated for those items.
I don't have any other questions, Mr. Barnhart. I'll open it to the public. I hope that's the board.
One more question.
It seems that this application is almost exactly the same application that the board approved in 2019, except it's a little better. has more residential parking spaces than the one that the board approved in 2019. So yes, in essence, this is basically the same application.
Okay. I think we got the...
The one sprinkler?
Want me to sprinkle?
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Garage area as well, parking area as well?
Okay, yeah.
Mr. Carroll, actually, John, you talked about the county maybe not approving a 24-foot wide curb cut. There's a curb cut for that easement that really isn't used. People park in front of it, it's actually a, it's a metered space in the summertime. Is there any way you can maybe go to the county and say, hey, if we take out this 10-foot wide curb cut, we can get a 24, just better access for people getting in and out of the parking area?
So...
All you can do is ask, it's county jurisdiction, but the question is for the easement, do they need a curb cut to get through there?
When I talk with the Muskets, I don't know if they require a curb cut. All he's indicated to me, it's been there for 50 years.
Right.
So he asked.
I know it is, yeah.
He didn't want to lose it in the sense that he didn't have to lose it.
Right. I don't, the easement doesn't bother me, just to, if we can give the county something back, it's a lot of negotiation there.
Right.
Hey, if we take this 10-foot wide one out.
If I can make that eight, pick up like 2 feet for us?
Something like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an ask. And then throw out there, if you can make that a little smaller, that's fine. I think just that, it's always a negotiation with the county, so.
I looked at that today, and that curb cut in front of the easement, it's only about the width of the easement, so it's only about 7 feet wide.
Exactly, it's tiny.
So you can't even really drive a car in it, it's dry.
I've never seen... Right. We're not going back to horses, although they're cheaper than cars. We'll give you guys horse-drawn fire trucks.
So if you're approved, I guess the condition will be that per Mr. Musket, you'll maintain it unless he agrees after consultation with the county that you can reduce or eliminate it.
Correct.
Something along, so you don't have to, if you get something from him that says, get rid of it, then you won't have to come back here or something.
Correct.
I will say that a lot of the businesses along there, when they do get deliveries, they do use that curb cut to pull up their hand trucks. So, not eliminate it completely, but like you said, Mr. Callahan, maybe reduce it a couple feet, so.
Right.
But Lance, I also give another idea to businesses, is that, say, 3-foot wide, the accesses in the curb for deliveries may help the district.
Well, again, the county's going to tell them what they can and can't do.
That's the county requirements, I'm sure, yes. Board members, any further questions?
Let me call Mr. Weiss. Pete?
I had a couple of questions first.
Go ahead.
Don't mind. You're in here, you're going with the aspect of, one is security. You have the stairs right coming off the street. Have you considered any security of that for the upper part of the building? So this gives complete access direct from the street, not going inside, making it a more secure, desirable building.
Did you follow his question?
I think I did. That's something I really considered. Seems to be anything you, no. I mean, the main access to the building, to me, is the stairway. I mean, yeah, the elevator's there, but I don't know who's going to actually use it that much. It just seems to me that if you do something that increases security, it's going to decrease the, you know, egress capacity of the building.
I mean?
The egress, you know, ability to leave.
There are egress considerations, but at the same time, my question is if you're looking at an access, this makes the balcony up on the second floor, up above the street levels, each of those, the same as the street. The exit gives the same access as the sidewalk from the street. And certain designers or people have questioned that as far as the design for security for the residents of the building.
Well, I don't know what you do with that unless you put in...
I just bring that up and go forward in here. And then the other thing is your trash and so on is there, is managed, so you don't have pickups. Do you have any other plans for odors and everything else in management? Because we do have constant complaints about that, and this is in the business district, right near a sidewalk. So with that, there has to be some plan on how to maintain that, so the city is not getting complaints, and the residents themselves are not complaining about it, because there could be garbage and other things in it. So it's a consideration, again, where we have problems in enforcement, and it drives the city nuts, because we have to put people out there.
I mean, you know, the trash is off the driveway, it's not facing the street right now.
I'm just asking you to consider it.
It's in a closed space, isn't it, Pete?
Well, I mean, I imagine having just a fence or something, like a final fence or something, but...
Okay.
In the summertime, stuff gets warm.
Well, if it gets warm, I mean, naturally, we would do twice pickups per week if that, if it gets that way. During the wintertime, gathering once a week.
Okay, I'm raising the issue, that's all. So you're going ahead. Now, on this wall, that you put in here, you're 1 foot of a separation between the existing, existing building it used to be tied to, that the former building was tied to, and now. Can you explain to me, or to the board and the public, how you're going to maintain that wall?
Which wall?
And how either party can maintain that with their properties.
So, the existing building is over the property line, the support property. That was a party wall, I suppose. I was going to build our wall, you know, very close to it. I mean, there's nothing to maintain from the outside if it's not exposed to anything. However, I'm thinking about it now, I guess we'd have a right to build on top of the party wall since it's a party wall. So that might be something that we could consider.
Was there any objection to a party wall from your neighbor?
Sorry?
From the restaurant, was there any objection to having a party wall? Because a 1 foot wall is like, we can do it. Have you maintained if there's a leak between the buildings?
Yeah.
Yeah, Pete, could you make that a party wall?
Yeah, it doesn't make, most cities would construct, in most cities, those walls are constructed as party walls.
Yeah.
As it was prior.
I suppose we could do that. I mean, I was, probably didn't jump on that because I don't know what that wall is, you know, so. But I suppose we could do something where we sort of build up from it, but don't actually put any weight on it. If you follow them, fine.
No one said that would bear any weight. The wall is not to bear weight for this building in that situation. It only bears, each wall bears their own weight.
Well, it's a party wall. It's a true party wall. It's one wall. The existing wall.
I guess what we're asking, can you build this right up on top of it?
I think we're going to probably have to.
Make that one wall.
Keep water from getting...
I think to get to the point, I think what we're saying is you won't be able to maintain that new wall. So let's butt them, cap the top of it so there's nothing coming down inside of there.
Yeah.
Is that what we're looking for?
Yeah.
That can be done. I just talked to our clients.
You can do a wall next to a wall with a coping going through, going across, overlapping the other wall.
Right.
And you're not, with that wall, you're not going to use that, the building, which is across the property line, as a bearing wall for your building.
Right.
You can't do that. So...
but I don't want to.
I mean, it's not your wall, not your property.
Well, it is, actually.
So you only have really one choice to do it with. And that's the normal way it would be done.
That's fine. We could solve that problem.
But I don't know how the board feels about that, but that's... Roger, swear in, please.
Mr. McLaren, please raise your right hand. You swear affirm the testimony you'll give throughout the evening will be the truth?
I do.
Okay.
So they would need a 0-foot setback on the right side, which...
Right.
Makes sense to me.
Do you choose to amend your plan?
We would amend the plan to have a 0 setback so we're going to have... In essence, a party wall was built on top, so there's no leaking going down between two property lines.
How do the professionals design it to make it work? We're just giving you a variance.
Any other questions, Mr. Cook?
I think that started pretty good.
Mr. Callahan, if I could, just for Mr. Weiss, just maybe go through the architectural, because I'm looking at the plan. There's decks in the front, and then there's step down in the back. It's not a full straight wall going up the back, correct?
Peter, want to walk through it a little bit?
Okay.
So, and even though Lorraine's not here, keep your voice up, please.
This is a pretty good mic. So as mentioned, I mean, it's commercial, two commercial spaces at the ground floor. One's about 1,400 square feet, the other's about 1,250. The left, more than half of the property is parking. There's actually 11 parking spaces, because there's 10 for the dwelling units, and then there's a handicap spot towards the front. So there's actually 11 spaces. In the middle of the building, we have an elevator, which is the handicap access. Since it's 5 units in the building has to be...
Peter, could you enunciate a little clearer so everyone can understand? You talk too fast.
Okay.
Slow it down.
I've never been accused of that before.
There's a handheld mic there too, Pete. There's a handheld mic in the front you can try and use too, if you want to use that.
Okay.
Right in front.
Okay.
Just press the button.
The button.
Press it in.
That's a big button. That button. Doesn't work.
Just hold it in.
Okay.
Hold it in. Press button. Okay, so because it's 5 units in the building, the dwelling units themselves have to be accessible also. So we need a handicap access to them, which is the elevator. So the elevator really only goes from ground level to the first floor. And then on the first floor...
We go to the first floor.
Yeah, the access to all the units is across the front. So, you know, your 2 stairs, your elevator, and that services the units behind. All the units are about 3,000 square feet or a little bit over. They're each 4-bedroom, 4-bath. First floor, you have the living space and the bedroom. Second floor is a 2 bedrooms and a loft, and then the third floor is one bedroom.
Talk a little bit about how you stepped them back in the front, how you handled the back with the decking and egress.
If you look at either side elevation, you can see that, like this is Ventnor Avenue on this elevation. So basically, it's really only one story, because this is a covered deck at this point. So, and then the upper decks step back. So the first floor deck is covered, roofed over, and then the upper 2 levels are open. But the whole front of the building steps back as you see that. So that would, you know, it's basically a 45 degree angle. So that would provide a lot more light and air to Ventnor Avenue. And the materials, and basically, so I wanted to do kind of a modern look, so we have a almost flat roof, a slight pitch to the roof for the 2 main roofs. And then there's the metal roofing across the front. The siding is fiber cement and stucco. And these are the cable rails for the decks above.
Egress, how do we get out of the place?
Well, egress is the 2 stairs and the elevator.
Okay. So
internally, they're townhouse units, so there's only one way out of each unit, which is the front door, which is at the first floor level.
And Mr. Landgraf had asked about the rear of the property. We don't have a blank wall going all the way up, do we?
Like there's no elevation.
Yeah. Wow.
It's not blank. So this is basically a 3-story. Wall in the back, but of course there are windows. This area over here is a parking area, so that would be open all the way through to the Ventnor Avenue. And then this area up here is this roof, and then the condensers are back up against the building in this area. I don't have any other questions, Mr. Weiss, I'm open up to the board.
What members?
Peter, how far off, on that third floor, because there is a residence right behind there, how far off the rear of the building is that third floor deck? It seems like it stepped back in a pretty decent amount.
Yeah.
I don't put the number on it, but it's at least 10 feet. I do have a number. So it's, 13 foot 8.
15 feet?
I'm sorry, 12 foot 8.
I'm sorry?
12 foot 8.
12 feet, okay.
There, with the, parking places that are there, is, my imagination is there's one extra space.
We have one hand, 10 places and one handicap.
10 places and one, so there's 11?
11 total.
11 total. Now, I'm missing here, is to, if you have 3,000 square foot units, which are nice size, and there could be family units, whatever the case may be, there's bicycles and all kinds of things that are going to be in this, in this area, where are they going to be handled? How are they going to be handled?
Well, we talked about that right now.
So we have. We just had a storage room on each unit on the first floor. So that's all we think of accommodating there.
It's the first floor, so we have to get them in, the elevator's not big enough. Is the elevator big enough to bring them up?
Commercial elevator, yeah.
Pardon?
It's a commercial elevator, so it isn't big enough, if you had a place, you'd put in the elevator, take it upstairs and keep it in your unit.
Okay, no, it will fit in the elevator.
Yes.
These elevators, so have to accommodate a stretcher, a piece of.
Okay, so they're about six by six or six by eight?
I don't know the dimensions, but it's big enough for, it's like a 3,500 pound elevator.
So, and because, you know, they can't get that clutter down below, and they're, you know, just so that the stuff's not falling all over the place. So that's a problem with beach chairs and all those kinds of things that these people are going to have. This is a resort community, so I just was looking at how you're going to manage, have it, and your plan is to work through the elevator into the unit itself.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't want to, yeah, a couple of, we did not want to lose commercial space to chop off about the back, part of the back of the building, put it in, because you're then down to 750, 800 square feet. You know, but the commercial space along that avenue needed to be maintained, and we didn't want to lose parking spaces to put storage units within the parking block of it. So we figured we had the commercial elevator, you know, that was the best alternative to go.
Not a bad move.
Right.
I mean, makes sense.
Plus, you know, guys like our age, you figured out, get the stretcher, get you and I out there.
Yeah, and we go first, right? Okay, that's the, look at these management plans so that the building works. And it actually, this could be a very, actually could be, I think, a very, it's a novel building, the way it's set up. And the size of units are unheard of, basically, what you're putting in here, in today's market, in there. So this is a novel offering, and that's why it's still so interesting.
Got our fingers crossed.
In there. So, what are you trying to achieve in this building for the benefit of the city to show what can be done to the city?
Well, I think that Mr. Barnhart said, I mean, and Mr. Weiss, A, from a residential point of view, you think it's, you know, on Ventnor Avenue, you're trying to have some new housing, which does a couple of things. A, you've got the beach, you've got the boardwalk, and you have a bunch of stores up and down, from restaurants to hair barbers to pole places across the street. So you're now having, you're bringing people into that neighborhood to support the commercial. And by having the commercial also, once again, it's what's been over 20 years, a blank slate there, and add some vibrancy to it. And you get parking, so we hopefully it's a win-win situation, that you have commercial and you have the residential.
Now, there's been discussion on a limited basis about the, you know, improving the storefronts in the city. And what are you doing in there to look at that, or have you talked with anybody in the city regarding the potential need for improvement to storefronts?
I haven't talked to any of the neighbors up here. The only person I talked with, Mr. Musket. I talked with Vince the barber, just to, you know, see how Vince felt, you know. He was okay. So, I mean, I'm guessing that when people do a project like this, there's other people in the neighborhood all of a sudden will paint, clean up, you know, add some planters, do some things like that to spruce up things. So as you walk down the street from the restaurant on one side to the restaurant on the other side, it becomes a nice walkway along Ventnor Avenue.
I do like how you're elevating the floor, just that, and you will floodproof this with dry floodproofing. And you have adequate window space size shown on the plans. I think that's could be what Mr. Cook is leaning towards also. So it looks like commercial space.
Right.
But again, you're also driven by the hamstrung by the floodproofing requirements for the window size. I think it looks pretty nice.
Commissioner, would it be Mayor Crable has mentioned about improvement discussion.
Well, so most of that was geared towards existing facades. They're going to have brand new facades, so they're going to have what we want.
Yeah.
So that's why I
thought it might be good to have a conversation with. It doesn't depend on the approvals here, but just to have a dialogue, have them meet and please. Alert you to the fact, and perhaps you might want to have one contact because see what how you can contribute to
absolutely
and ideas and illicit ideas that you need to hear. But I think it's a great idea.
Thank you,
Roger. Were you referring to you like the elevation of the commercial area?
Yes,
that enough?
Yes,
what about the handicap situation?
They have a ramp in front.
Oh, on the side.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Sorry.
Now, the other question I guess comes into play is since this is a zero lot line now, could the restaurant be expanded to this space, in this space? Or is that permitted?
Two different property owners.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Okay.
Would you consider this, these two commercial properties, unrentable to a restaurant because of the housing above?
I think on the last application, it had no restaurants as part of the condition.
That's why I'm saying this.
Did that have it?
Let's ask.
A reasonable condition because it's just as Pete said, it would be tough to run a hood all the way up through somebody's condo bay or.
Well, that's why I was kind of. If we put it on the record.
Right.
Because then you don't have to redesign the whole thing.
Right.
Like another situation that happened in Ventnor.
Correct.
You know, so that's why I brought it up. This application, other than it looking better, is almost exactly like what was presented in the past.
We got some parking in, we got the handicap in, got the ramp in, so yes.
Yeah, it just looks better.
Right.
Instead of being straight up, if I recall.
Yep.
So, utilities other than water, gas, and sewer, would they be underground too, instead of having all these wires across Ventnor Avenue?
Say it again, Roger.
The utilities that are normally overhead, like electric, cable, and telephone, would they be underground?
Oh, they could be. I don't remember what side of the street the electric's on.
Not on this side.
The other side?
Yes. Unless you go to the corner, which might be the easier way to go.
It's on the other side of the street.
Still want more of these wires on the street.
And the electric up on the deck here, right, you know, it could go either way.
Right, but it's gonna be underground.
I don't know.
I think we should.
That's what they're asking, is can we put it underground?
You can.
Well, I'm sure it could be done, yeah.
Well, it's county road. County road.
County road, and we've got the electric company, as I say.
I think there's a pod rail on the corner there.
Trying to get to the street here.
We need wire.
Unless the county objects, I would say it should be a condition.
Did you hear that? It was a recommendation, unless the county objects, that should be a condition.
Yeah, there is a pole at the corner of right by Sephora. Can you bring it down from there?
It looks like it has conduit going underneath.
Yeah. So you got a pole right there.
These are the transformers.
No restaurant.
I was gonna say, with an elevator, we're gonna need three-phase service, I don't really know what's out there.
Yeah, and there's no transformer on that corner pole.
No.
We would ask you to try and make an attempt to bring it in underground, knowing the limitations you might have, right?
They would probably let you bore.
Excuse me?
They would probably let you underground bore.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, kind of like.
Not utilities.
Well, just make every good attempt that you can.
All right, so I'll attempt underground.
Yeah.
And I have the other one, driveway attempt. Driveway easement attempt. Both talk to county.
Transformers.
Anything else?
Yes, further thing, Commissioner? When, with Milk East, where the driveway crossed over the city sidewalk.
Right.
Did we require certain things with that, or not? We had discussions on it.
I don't think we did. I know I've seen that on other projects where they might do a colored concrete there, just to give pedestrians a little bit of a heads up that you're walking across a driveway on the sidewalk.
And then on Buffalo Avenue, we asked for mirrors to go up for the, where they.
These guys are coming out forward, so it should be.
So this is, I'm just reviewing these things.
Yeah.
Yeah, where that driveway takes that bit to either pin or do something.
Something to give the pedestrians.
Walk again, heads up.
Yeah, that'll be helpful.
Somebody will take that weird step.
The driveway will be at grade?
Yeah.
Or at the same level as the sidewalk?
Should be the same level.
I mean, I would propose that they have an apron, have the sidewalk be flush.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just at the ends of the driveway opening, just have some kind of colored concrete or something there to give a pedestrian something to look at and say, hey, there's a driveway here.
Yeah, we could do that. We could be in the community, just put a paper band or something.
Perfect.
That makes it stand out.
Did you turn the right hand?
It was in the county right away.
Yeah.
Colored concrete.
Colored concrete could be a problem, but.
We did it, did you do the right hand in Atlantic City? The new one? We had them do that there.
Yeah, I do know the problem, yeah.
It just gives your eye, walking down the sidewalk, you're not used to driveway coming across it. So this just gives you some visual pointers.
But there should be something to get that for the drivers also to give a heads up. It's a two-way responsibility. So the drivers have to be responsible as well as the pedestrians. So if we could, if you could propose that, we could, a way to do that.
You know, on top of that, Mr. Chairman, maybe on the inside for the drivers, as they're leaving, a little sign, stop sign definitely, sign below it.
Right.
Get be aware of pedestrians, pedestrian crosswalks, something like that.
Yeah, same thing I did bring to you, I said, look at the mirrors, so when you're coming out, you know.
Yeah, that helps, I'd still like just a sign there for the exit.
The mirrors might get broken. Okay. I think so.
And for the record, this is preliminary and final, major site.
This is a preliminary and final, board members, so, so that would be it. Another thing that we're discussing with the colors of the building, the materials.
Colors, materials?
On this rendering, well, it's basically brown and white for the siding. So the brown would be fiber cement, probably horizontal, and the white is stucco. But that was the materials in this for the siding.
And was there a reason these colors were chosen?
I just thought it looked good, I guess.
My question is was the downtown area looked at and say, what would be, how would this building blend into what the city is or what it might be? And that was that question asked.
Okay. No, I didn't look.
Pardon?
No, I didn't look.
Who chooses the colors?
Usually the owner.
Is that what he wanted?
What they're saying is they didn't finalize the colors yet, but this one looked good. So, I mean, if the board thinks that it doesn't blend in properly.
I don't remember. Yeah, frankly, I don't remember most of what the storefront look along
there. I think most of the colors down there are.
Seems to me it would be a hot.
First tones, brick, browns, whites.
Yeah.
And support.
There's a pink one down the strand a little bit. I'd rather not be pink.
Pink, yellow, brown.
Not that I don't like pink, but it's a big building for pink.
My question is, and Jeff is motivated by, is we're putting a significant structure in as an example of something. And some thought should be just given to the color, and because other people may even copy the building. So, and so on. It may be that good. So I would say, again, I would suggest, and I know the mayor has given a lot of thoughts to some of these things and so on, just consult with him a little bit. You know, we're not trying to force the color down his road, make you choose the color, but you know, give you a little idea. And so maybe there's some thought processes that get blended together.
We'll take a look at it.
If you could do that, I would appreciate that greatly.
Thank you.
So the dining areas, they're going to have vaulted. Dining areas are going to have vaulted ceilings.
Well, it's going to be open to the floor above, yeah.
And then above it will be open. So open second.
Yeah. Well, there's a loft in the second floor that would be open. Yeah, that would overlook into the dining area below. So. Yeah.
So like a handrail around on the upper floor. Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like you got water for four bedrooms.
Nice job. Stuff on
the Any other questions?
I have no other questions. I'm with you. Are you complete with your presentation?
We're completed at the present time.
I'd like to give the public. Is the board have any other questions?
Nope.
Comments? At this time, then I'll defer to the public. Is there anyone in the public who wishes to make comment on this application? Yes, please. Go forward, sir.
Give us your name and address, and we'll swear you in.
My name is Jeff Corson, and I live at 1 North New Haven Avenue, right around the corner.
Okay, Mr. Corson, please raise your right hand. You swear from the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
So I'm just curious, how many other residents are here for this? Are there any other residents?
for this?
Probably under 65, but same number.
Okay, cool, so some people showed up.
I would speak to them.
Okay, so I think this is fantastic, to bring this type of development into our wonderful town of Ventnor. Good luck to you guys. It's just the parking situation, it's horrible right now, as you all know. I have a driveway, so it takes some of the burden away, but it's still brutal, and, you know, we get tickets if we're not, with the meters that have been put in, you know, in the last couple, few years. But, I don't think we as a town have a way out of the parking, you know what I mean? It is what it is, but I think this is great. These, four bedroom, four bath, 3,000 square foot, these are homes, these aren't gonna be rental properties, correct?
No.
I see, I understand, yeah.
Okay, so, I'm sure they're not gonna be cheap, but no, I think it's fantastic, I wish them all the best, we'll just have to deal with the parking and, you know, it's not gonna be good. A lot of good things you guys brought up here, you know, and when you were talking about the colors and stuff, there's not that much new stuff on the avenue, right? Santucci's is like the newest thing that went in, and it's black, right? So, but anyhow, lots of good input and comments.
One of the positive things compared to the application that was approved in 2019 is there is five or six more parking spots.
Yeah.
So, you know, that has been considered from back then.
Yeah, no, I get it, and like I said, a lot of great topics, like the trash, it's an issue for me, and you gotta work with your neighbors, and, you know, that's been working for me, but it is certainly an issue, but a lot of good stuff you guys brought up, so thank you.
Are you insured, by the way? Thank you very much, thank you very much for your opinion. Sir, can you be sworn in, please?
Just give us your name and address, I'll swear you.
Paul Musket, 5600 Edgewater Avenue. I'm the president of Musket Industries, which is the entity that owns 6515 Ventnor Avenue.
Okay, Mr. Musket, please raise your right hand, you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
My only concern is when I reviewed the plan that the city has, it doesn't show my driveway cut on the plan. 6515 is one property, but I own a lot in the back. There were actually two separate properties at one time. I've notified Mr. Callahan with a letter about that. I wasn't sure if that was discussed before I got here today at this meeting. But on the plan, it looks like my driveway cut is gone.
You have a 7.5-foot easement, correct?
Yes.
On that?
And there's a lot in the back.
And there's a 3-foot easement in the back, or somewhere in that area?
Across the back of the property, yes.
Right, that was all, that is on the record, sir.
Excuse me?
That is on the record.
Okay.
And also was discussed was the curb cut that exists in the front of, and I'm glad you're here, because there was discussion about possibly going, whether that curb cut was needed to stay there, and whether it could be applied to the county to reduce that curb cut. So, and that was the case. So, do you have a feeling, do you have some advice for the board on that subject?
Okay, well, we've had that curb cut for, since I think 1911.
Yes.
So you're gonna take away my curb cut and put in their 20-foot curb cut, that's my concern.
I really, but that's in the county, it's in the county right of way. That is in the county right of way, in there.
Okay.
And, so the, it would have to be applied to the county. It serves no purpose other than, if there's no parking being used, it takes away a parking place, in there.
Who says there's no parking being used? It can be used. For years, the city has had a meter placed at the head of that parking spot, which I talked to Mayor Kreiser years ago about it.
I'm sorry, it's just the curb cut that's trying to be normalized, we'll say, with the rest of the curbs.
Mr. Chairman, if I could, I asked the question, so I'll explain what I was asking about. So, they'd only proposed a 20-foot wide curb cut for their parking lot.
Yes.
They asked them if they could, we asked them if they could widen it to 24 to make it more amenable. Sometimes the county wants a little give back. I asked the question, it's great that you're here, that if you didn't need that curb cut anymore, we're not taking anything away from you, we're not trying to do that. Not, if you were willing to give it up, it might help them in their case. If you're not willing to give it up, we don't care.
No, I'm not willing to give it up.
Okay, then fine.
I don't want people blocking the driveway.
Then it's a dead issue.
The previous property owner, I think to them, removed the whole driveway. and are waiting for somebody to put that back in, and now they have this plan here, so I'm waiting for them to do that.
Right.
But I just don't want to lose the driveway cut, because it serves that lot in the back.
That answers the question, we can't do that, so appreciate you, I'm glad you were here.
Okay.
And, that's what I put on the record.
Okay.
Right, my conversation with you is exactly what I put on the record.
Okay.
Okay.
Is your home being built on Edgewater Avenue, your brother's?
Yes.
Your brother, how's he doing with it?
Yes.
How's he doing with it?
My brother?
How's that, the home you're building over on Edgewater?
We didn't start that yet.
You didn't start it yet, good luck with that.
We got all those variances, but now the neighbors are building, they don't need any variances, so it was a waste of my effort then, now I can build, yeah, because they changed all the ordinances now.
Good luck with that property.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming out, it really helped us get through that issue.
Is there anyone else who wishes to speak on this application? At this time, no one is coming forth or signaling that they wish to speak, so the public portion is now closed. Mr. Callahan, is your, to finish as you wish?
I think we're done, I think, you know, we have everything that Mr. Barnhart, Mr. Weiss did, together with the conditions set forth by the board and set forth by Roger. So I would turn it back over to Roger if he has any additional comments.
Well, first of all, do you agree with Mr. McLaren's report?
Yes, we've had a chance to review it, and that's why I had Mr. Barnhart address, like, the trees, the runoff, those kind of issues.
Okay. So you're congruent then?
Yes, we are.
Just real quick, I just want to throw on the record, yes, I agree that the use variance was previously granted, carries over, there's nothing that's been changed at site. The 1.1 foot setback request has changed to a zero to close that gap, which makes sense. And they're meeting all the residential parking requirements. They're seeking a variance, the retail, commercial parking. I do want to point out that the minimum lot area is 3,000 square feet. They have almost 8,900 square feet, so they're full compliance there. Minimum lot width is 40 feet. They have 111 feet. Fully compliant there. Lot depth requirement is 75 feet. They have 80 feet, fully compliant. Front yard setbacks are fully compliant. The principal setback on the building on the left side is fine. Rear yard setback, I believe that this has actually grown from the last application. The minimum requirement is 23 feet. They're providing 7 feet that no one was asked to accommodate the easement in back. And they, as a subcommittee, we recommend, need some recommendations to the parking layout, and I think they've accommodated that by providing the turnaround spot in the back, which is why that part of the driveway or parking area goes in at rear yard setback. Again, that's just to accommodate the turning, backing out, proceeding out onto Edgewater Avenue. Very little site improvements are required, or for the city, it's all County Road. Again, emphasizing the need to try to get the underground utilities underground. And that's pretty much it.
Sidewalks, what was the usually they get busted up during the construction?
Well, it's a county sidewalk, so they're gonna have to get a County Road opening permit and a County Planning Board approval, and they'll probably have to post a bond for guarantee with the county as well as escrow.
Okay.
There's no city public right-of-way disturbance in this application.
Board members, last chance.
Brian,
yes.
Go ahead.
Are we doing anything about landscaping? It's just the two trees out front, right?
It's really not an ideal situation.
No, because of the back, right? The backs.
I think they're going to put some landscaping in the back, like maybe some stones, maybe some blue run junipers, but they have to maintain access along the whole back. There's only no spot to put
it. Should there be any potting of like the planters in the front in there to break up some, add some greenery to the facade?
Again, if it's
a room.
If it's in the county right away, they probably don't want anything there.
I'm saying in the building itself, on the, say,
so the planters that are out on Ventura Avenue, okay, the ground planters and
We're looking at a whole street.
Who maintains the city?
Citizens. So we're looking at taking those big round concrete ones out wherever we can and replacing them with some different decorative planting, so. I like what they've done with the two trees. I'd rather the rest of it, because we end up maintaining it, so I want to put out what we want and not. Sorry, so a little selfish there. Easy minutes.
I'm sorry. Commissioner, you finished?
Yes.
Peter, how wide are the balconies?
Well, the building kind of steps back and forth a little bit. So on the first floor, I mean, we're starting at 14 feet. I'd have to get a scale and figure out what it is in front of the elevator.
Just get a ballpark.
It's got to be at least 6 feet.
It doesn't have to be exact at the inch, but I mean, yeah. Are they 5 feet, 6 feet?
I'd say 6 feet at the first floor. Second floor, they vary from, say, 8 feet to 9 feet.
What was that again?
Second floor, they vary from 8 foot to 9 foot. The front of the building steps a little bit, so they vary.
Right.
And then upstairs are all 6 foot deep.
And how about the first floor?
Sorry?
First floor, or the, I guess that we would call that the second, are you calling that 10 feet off the ground, is that first or?
First, yes.
That's the first, that's the way.
So I'd say, you know, we've got at least 6 feet in front of the elevator, and then on the sides, the ends, it's 14 feet, so.
14 feet?
Yes.
So, have anybody considered putting some planters on these balconies? Then it's just like putting some greenery on the building itself, for the facade of the building.
Suppose that could be done.
You know, our problem is who's going to maintain it?
The owners.
I know, but if you're a second-time owner, you're not down here for 6 months.
So it's called irrigation.
Irrigation to a planter hanging over your balcony?
Mr. Chairman. We wouldn't want any planters on the first floor, because that would block the egress.
Okay.
We want that whole first floor, the stairs, nothing there. Another balcony.
Okay, you heard it. Well, since that, I know it would be asked by other people in the community as well, but you have a facade and you have anything. Is there anything that could be used to soften? I bring this in Milkies, they have when they're up on their balconies. They have planters with the trees, someone that break up their brick lines and so on to enhance the place. And so on, and they would put them in there. So my suggestion or my question is there anything you can do to say soften the building or make it more pleasing?
I'd rather leave that up to an owner, not making it a condition for somebody who owns a property has to put a 3 foot evergreen tree out there or has to put a pot that's 25 feet up in the air, set back 15 feet.
I would, because it's some control if you're going to do it as part of the plan, if you're going to require it at all. If you're not going to require it, then it's a different story. My question is to the board is, should we be requiring anything?
This is a private deck. This is someone's private deck. They're going to be buying this condo or town or whatever they are. We don't tell people to put planters on their private decks.
Then the question is, you can ask and answer.
Thank you.
I have a question. Because this has been approved so many times, what is the time frame, if it's approved tonight, for the start of construction?
What's the time frame to start construction?
We hope to get everything from together. On mid-May, start.
And what's the estimated time of construction?
18 months.
Year and a half max. But we try to keep it hopefully we can do it within a year.
That's glass. I put that thing in.
Year and a half.
Yeah.
Okay.
At least there's a plan.
Right.
Because I was waiting to go to the beer garden.
Right.